Amen. That's good singing. You see what a few reinforcements can do. And some of the back row that come in there are mighty singers. Isn't that right, Sam? You got the whole bass section coming on there. That's good. Good to lift up our voices unto the Lord in this manner. You'll know why you're here tonight, even if you maybe forgot the announcement. You'll see the banner that's at the front there advertising the fact that we're here representing Let the Bible Speak this evening. Well, thank you for having us, for hosting a regular deputation meeting such as this. I'm the deputation secretary for this area, and it's good to be back representing the work and witness of LTBS here in Hillsborough. The format the meeting will take tonight, God willing, will be that we'll bring a short word that the Lord has laid upon my heart specifically for and indeed in relation to the work and witness of LTBS. And then we'll show the latest deputation DVD or video. It's not really a DVD now. It's all in digital format online. And that'll be about 22 minutes long. That'll show you the latest things that are happening, especially, I'm sure many of you know already, something to do with off the work in Ahochle, that new centre that has been purchased by LTBS of recent days. We're waiting at the minute for full planning permission to be able to use that in the way that we've intended to use it. And you'll see that on the screen just a little bit later. And then we'll get down to prayer a little bit later on as well. We'll have these deputation updates for you. They're just printed. They're hot off the press. Last night, we've run maybe 40 or 45 or so of these off for you. There should be enough for everyone here, certainly every family represented. And if there's others that you would like them for, feel free to say that to us on the way out, and you can get a couple of those as well. You might actually notice, for those with the keen eyes, that we've got some pens here at the front as well. LTBS pens, there's some nice blue and green pens. Every time you're signing a check or every time you're taking a note, you can be reminded of the work and witness of LTBS. It has been suggested that those pens might retail at something in the sum of £1, but we're not going to be troubling you with pound coins tonight. I'm sure whatever is given in the retiring offering will more than cover the price of pens. But you please, the main reason we're here is to bring awareness of the work, and so that you, as God's people, the grassroots supporters, I like to think of individuals in the churches this way, grassroots supporters might remember and feel burdened indeed to pray for the Lord's work in this way. It truly is a global ministry, something that started off over 50 years ago now with just a single radio station being broadcast from Manx Radio in the Isle of Man, now truly is a global worldwide ministry, and the Lord is using it for the salvation of many precious, never-dying souls. I want you to turn, please, in the Word of God as we consider just a few verses tonight for Mark's Gospel. Mark's Gospel, chapter 12, please. We want to read some of these words together. I have to admit that these are words that I have not considered really as far as preaching from them is concerned until relatively recently. In all my years of ministry and preparing messages, we've skipped over this portion. And I say that to my shame, because I believe this portion is rich in teaching this evening. I read the whole of the chapter before I come out this evening, but I want to draw particular attention, and we'll just read these verses, from verse 41 right through to the end. 41, 2, 3, and 4. Because we ought to be interested in whatever the Savior is interested in. We ought to highlight what the Savior highlights. And I do believe this is case on point for that. In fact, what he highlights here is something that we, even as God's people, would ignore, would gloss over, would not even notice. What do we read off here? Well, it'll be very clear as soon as we start to read verse 41. And Jesus sat over against the treasury. Now, we'll give you some context of what that all means a little bit later in the meeting. But let's take Scripture even at face value for what it says this evening. Jesus sat over against the treasury and, look at the next word. Now, this is something that I've even glossed over until just recent days. And beheld. There's certain words that I look out for whenever I'm reading the Word of God. Lo, behold, verily, or as we have it in John's Gospel, verily, verily. There's certain little phrases that indicate that which is to follow is of utmost importance. Now, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Everything that you have within this book, no matter where you open it, is of utmost importance. But especially those things that come after one of those trigger words like that. What comes after this particular phrase? And beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much. Full stop. Now I've written beside that in my copy of God's Word, that would be where our focus ends. Ends at those that were rich casting in their much. But look at what we read from verse 42 onwards. And there came a certain poor widow. You know the portion well, I'm sure. And she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And he, that is the Lord Jesus Christ himself, he called unto him his disciples and saith unto them, verily, again, one of those trigger words, we've mentioned this one already, verily I say unto you that this poor widow hath cast in, or cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. Now, isn't that a remarkable statement even before we go any further? We would say this is counterintuitive. This is really the opposite of what was in fact the case, but of course we cannot say that because this is the Savior, the omniscient one, the perfect Savior that said this, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. Two mites? In fact, the word that opens verse 44 is a word that really describes it or opens it up for all they are, because all they are. This is the reason behind this. This is the Savior's holy explanation over what he has just said. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. Now it's only a short reading, just those four verses. Four verses that we could easily skip over if we were reading the whole narrative, all those chapters up to that, we could skip over that. But the Savior highlighted that, and I believe we ought to do the same tonight. In fact, this is the burden of my message for the meeting this evening. Before we come to consider these four verses, and indeed its parallel portion, it's also recorded for us in Luke's Gospel 21, the first four verses there, rather than the last four here. But before we do, let us plead with the author of the book, the Holy Spirit himself, to come alongside and to help not only the preacher, I need help, but to help us even as we might receive the good seed that is the Word of God tonight. Let us pray. Our Father, we do thank thee for the reading of Holy Writ tonight in our presence. We thank thee, Lord, that we can do so without let or hindrance. We don't have to meet underground, as many do tonight in some parts of the world. But we're able to come along to this place, and we're able to open up our own copy, one of many, no doubt, copies of God's Word, and read what thou hast given for us. We thank thee that every word of God is pure. And Lord, I pray that thou would bless and help tonight, even as we may come to consider these thoughts. It is for thy glory and thy glory alone we do plead. Help us now. Take away distraction, tiredness, things that would take away from the word tonight. In thy precious and holy name we do ask. Amen. We've mentioned already the very fact that this particular account is recorded for us by the Spirit himself in two of the four Gospels. Mark's Gospel, as we've read, and Luke's Gospel as well, and we might even make reference to the verses there from Luke 21, verse 1 through to 4. And you know, this account, I've been thinking about this quite a lot of recent days. This particular account, while often overlooked, is nevertheless remarkable in many, many ways, not least because of what we read contained within those four verses, but its context as well, where it is set in Scripture, where it is set. And indeed, whenever we look at this context, more specifically, when we find this occur within the very lifeline of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, this incident that we have recorded for us here really is, think of it this way, really is in the very shadow of the cross, in the very shadow of Calvary. Let's look at the timeline here for a moment. Let's look at the chapters preceding it. In Mark's Gospel, try to keep our comments, in the main at least, to Mark's Gospel. Look at chapter 11. We're in chapter 12 tonight, the very closing words of chapter 12. But turn back to chapter 11. The first 11 verses there, to give a synopsis of those 11 verses, really what that is Christ's triumphant entry into Jerusalem. We know when that is. Palm Sunday. Right at the very beginning of what some refer to as Holy Week, the end of which saw my Savior allowing cruel and wicked men nailing him to the tree of Calvary, hoisting him between heaven and earth, where he would give his all for sinners such as me. That's the first 11 verses of Mark's Gospel, chapter 11. And then in the next little section, verse 12 to 19, really that concerns with the day after, i.e. we're getting closer now, we're getting right up to the Monday before Good Friday. Look at verse 12, the first part of it, we read those words of clue there, and on the morrow when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry and so on. Now look at verse 20. We read there of an indicator that shows us it's the start of another new day, i.e. the Tuesday just, we're getting very close now, just 3 days before Good Friday when they crucified my Savior. Look at what it tells us in verse 19 and 20. And when even was come, that's the Monday evening, and when even was come, he, Christ, he went out of the city, and, verse 20, and in the morning, Tuesday morning, as they passed by, and then we read the reference of the fig tree there that was dried up from the roots that he had cursed. Now in verse 27, we're still in Mark 11, in verse 27 we read of how they, that is Christ and his disciples, that's the word that's used in verse 27, they came to the temple in Jerusalem, and it was there that we read the events that's recorded in the remainder of that chapter, and indeed right throughout chapter 12, the chapter that we're in tonight, including the very portion from verse 41 to verse 44. So let's put that into perspective yet again. And let me repeat what I've said already, because it is important. This account really was set in the very shadow of the cross, the very shadow of Calvary, and yet, and this is the thing that humbles me whenever I read portions like that, and yet the Savior's focus, as was often the case, was on an individual, one person. In fact, it wasn't somebody that would have been notable, that would have stood out to any others, but simply this individual that's referred to here as, in verse 42, a certain poor widow that caught the attention of the Savior that day. Someone who would have been ignored. Someone who would have been not even noticed at all the others, and yet even less than 3 days before his own crucifixion, the Lord Jesus Christ focused in on this certain poor widow. You know what that tells me this evening? It tells me of the importance, something of the importance of the individual. Never allow the devil to whisper that lie in your ear, because he does it. It's one of the tools, I believe, more and more. It's one of the tools and devices that Satan levels against us, that you're not important, that you don't matter, that you're not noticed by anyone, What are we but a speck, really, whenever we look at it in a global scale? What are we? And yet the Savior notices the individual. The individual does not matter. That's the devil's lie. I put it to you this evening that the teaching of Scripture, the teaching of Christ himself, begs to differ. You know, that's not an isolated theme right across the Word of God. Very often we find how the Lord Jesus Christ is interested in, goes after, in fact, is pleased to use the individual. Think about John 3, of how he dealt with Nicodemus. Yes, he was a ruler of the Jews, but then into the next chapter that we read of how the Lord Jesus Christ went after that wee woman at the well and was pleased to use her for his glory. Think about Zacchaeus, that hated wee man in that cursed city of Jericho. He went there to reach, I believe, Zacchaeus above any others. Think of John chapter 6, verse 9. I was thinking about this verse as I was preaching on the Lord's Day morning, 100 miles from here. There is a lad here. That's the reference there, one of the four references, in fact, one of the four occasions of where we read the only miracle that's recorded in all four Gospels, the feeding of the 5,000, and how there was, he asked, was there any food? Was there anything there amongst all that were there? And Andrew brought just that wee boy. There is a lad here. But then he had to put his own commentary on it. He had to spoil it and throw in this wee comment at the end of it. But what is that among so many? Oh, the Savior proved him wrong that day. Because he is interested in, because he is pleased to use the individual. You know, the Lord really is interested in you, the individual, tonight. We read here in verse 41, let's get back to the portion that we read together. Verse 41 of Mark's Gospel, chapter 12, of how the Lord Jesus Christ sat over against the treasure. I've only really just studied out this portion of recent days. I always did wonder about this. You know, whenever I'm at a meeting, any meeting, but especially a meeting like this, a deputation meeting where there might be a retiring offering that's going into the work that we're representing, I always normally am guest for the minister who's here with us, no matter where we are. We're in many churches across the province. And I'll always ask the minister whenever I go somewhere that isn't my home church, I'll normally say to him, where do you want me to stand at the door? Where do you want me to stand? And he'll say, well, you can stand there or you can stand there. I always hate standing near the collection plate because I don't look at what's going into the plate, but I hate people thinking that that boy's only standing there so he can see what we're giving. And I always wondered about this portion. I always wondered about this account of how, in fact, the opening words that we read in verse 41 tells us that Jesus sat over against the treasury. Was he doing that? Of course, the Lord Jesus Christ is omniscient. He knows all things without having to do that in that sense. But was he doing that, or what was he doing there? Well, we looked at it in its context, and we looked at the whole layout of the temple environment, and really, what does that mean? This indicates to us, and we hope we'll learn something tonight as we come to this deputation meeting, learn something from Scripture, not just about the work and witness of LTBS. This shows us, really, that he was sitting there at the main gate, or the main court of the temple. Whenever you enter the temple by the gate that's called Beautiful, I've never been, I would love to go at some stage. But that space immediately opens up into a large open court. That court is known as the Court of the Women. But arranged around the outside of the walls, let's say a scenario like this. Around the outside of the walls, there is not one plate or maybe even two for clockwise and anti-clockwise. There is 13 trumpet-shaped receptacles, if you want to call them that, or bowls to allow the money to come in, mounted on the walls off the ground. No matter where you would have sat, no matter where you would have stood, you would have been close to one of these. 13 of them in that area. That really is what's referred to here as the treasury in the first part of verse 41. That helps us visualize what we're dealing with here. Of how, verse 41, let's read it again, and Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld. That's an intense form of a word. We've already covered that. Beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. You know, in essence, that really is the scene that's painted here, that's set out for us as we come to this particular portion of Scripture. Let's think about it tonight. Let's think about this widow's mite, just for a few minutes that we have before we go to show the deputation DVD. The first thing that I want to draw your attention to, because it's so easy to forget this as God's people, so easy to put on a show in God's house and to let it all drop, to wear a mask, if you like, and then whenever we're on our own, just to let that fall away. Remember that we are dealing with one here. This scene is set here where the Lord Jesus Christ is central to it all. We're dealing with one who is omniscient in all things. That comes from two words. That's a compound word. Whenever you put two words together, it's called a compound word. Omni meaning many, and the word science. That's how you spell omniscient. Is the word science comes next. Omniscience. It means knowledge. He knows all things. All things. We sometimes forget that. We sometimes behave and act like as if that's not the case. He sees the finest detail. Isn't that what this passage, in fact, tells us and teaches us? That he sees and he knows the finest detail of all things. There is nothing, dear friends, tonight, nothing. Let me underline this. There is nothing that escapes his sight, his knowledge, his attention. He saw, yes, that first verse tells us this. He saw those that cast in their large, their huge sums of money, the much that's referred to there at the end of verse 41. He saw their abundance. The other word is used in verse 44. But he also saw the little. The little that was dropped in that day from the hand of the widow. She wouldn't have dropped it in from a great height so that others could see it. You know, some people that do that. I'm sure she kept her hand closed until it was nearly out of sight before she let those two mites escape her grasp and fall into that trumpet-shaped receptacle, one of 13, around the court of the women. He saw those two mites. He saw the little. In fact, we do read, I've made reference to it just now, we read of that detail, that particular detail that's given in verse 42. Let us look at the heart of that verse right through to the end of it. There came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. I thought about that. I'm sure many of you knew Mrs. Walkinshaw, matron of the college, in the Whitfield College. Mrs. Walkinshaw and I always got on powerful well after a very rocky start. That's another story, maybe for another day. But I remember Mrs. Walkinshaw many years after I left Bible College, whenever I was ministering in Belfast. I remember meeting her at a meeting one night. I can't remember where it was, but I'll never forget what she said to me. She says, "You know, Mr. Hannah, I pray for you every other day." Now, there's people will tell you a lie that would hang a goat. There's people that will tell you things like, "Oh, I remember you all the time, and I pray for you every day." But there's not too many will actually give you that detail. There'll not too many that will say, "I pray for you every other day." I believe Mrs. Walkinshaw did actually do that. She's now gone to her reward. She's now gone to glory. But I thought about that even whenever we read, and the same is true in the parallel portion over in Luke's Gospel as well. We're given that same detail of how she dropped in two mites. She threw in two mites, which make a farthing. Now, what is a mite? It's the smallest of the small. It is the smallest monetary denomination available at that time. Really just a tiny wee brass coin, even just a disc you could call it. In fact, some of the commentators today equate it, I'm talking modern commentators, in modern terms, equate it to something, this is obviously an American commentator that said this, he equated it to something, one, that is, one mite, to be akin to an eighth of a cent. That's nothing. Kids nowadays wouldn't even lift that sort of a change if they dropped it. In fact, we spent the summer ministering over in Canada in a church over there. They've done away with coppers completely over there. The smallest denomination you can get over there nowadays isn't something like an eighth of a cent. It's 5 cents. They're rounded up or rounded down. They've done away with coppers. Yet the Lord Jesus Christ was so interested in what this woman gave, even though it was only 2/8 of a cent or 1/4 of a cent in monetary terms, and that's what she cast that day into the Lord's treasury. You know, I thought about this. The Savior not only knew what she had given that day, we're thinking about his omniscience here, the fact that he knows all things here. He not only knew what she had given that day, but he saw, think of this, all that she had to give. Is that not a humbling thought? She didn't withhold anything from the Master. She didn't withhold anything from his service, from the work on that occasion. You know, I was, as I told you earlier on, I read the whole of the passage before I come out this evening. And in the earlier verses, we see of how the Lord Jesus Christ was dealing with, look at verse 28. Now, I haven't any of this in my notes, or I haven't really thought about this just before, unless it was just prior, immediately prior to the meeting, but we read of how one of the scribes came, having heard them reason together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked Christ, what is the first commandment of all? And Jesus gave him an answer. The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God, and thou shalt, look at verse 30, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Not to withhold, not to keep anything back, all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. Does that not dovetail so neatly into what we read here in verse 41? It wasn't what she gave so much was the point here of the Savior. It was the fact that she gave it all. She gave it all. She held nothing back from the Lord's work. And you know, that's a challenge to this sinner. That's a challenge to this preacher. That's a challenge to me. Is that not a challenge to each and every one of us? Is that a description of you and I tonight? Is that a description of us? It's not what we give, it's what we hold back is the challenge here. We often refer to and talk about sin. Sin is any want of conformity unto or transgression of the law of God, isn't that what we learn? Catechism number 14, what does that mean? It means there's two types of sin. There's doing what we shouldn't do, that's sin. Yeah, we're quick to highlight that, aren't we? We're quick to point the finger at that. But there's that whole other side, forgive the pun as we're thinking of a coin here, but there's the whole other side of the coin where there's sin is not doing what we ought to do. That's what the focus was here. That's what the attention of the Savior was here. Not so much what she gave that day, but in the fact that she gave her all. And that brings us very clearly into the next thing that I want to consider. And don't worry, there's not a pile of points and sub-points tonight. The next one is very simply this, the sacrifice that this widow made. She gave her all in the service of the Lord's work that day. Look at what we read toward the end of that portion. Look at the last part of verse 44. We'll read the whole verse, but especially the last part of verse 44. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but, that word but is, Mr. Kenny talks about it being a hinge word on how large doors swing on small hinges. Isn't that what he says? For all they did cast in of their abundance, but, contrast. It's always a word of contrast. But she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. It's reinforced there. So strong the language that the Savior used. That's where we read from Mark chapter 12. I don't ask you to turn to it. But in the parallel portion, Luke 21, it's the first four verses there. We read of the same account. But in the last of those verses, we read, verse 4, we read these words. For all these have of their abundance cast in unto the offerings of God. But she of her, here's a new word. But she of her penury. That's a strong word. She of her penury hath cast in all the living that she had. Now the question is, do we take Scripture literally? Yes, of course we do. When Scripture says that she cast in all the living that she had, all that she had in verse 44 here in our text, all her living, are we to take that at face value or are we trying to explain it away? Certainly not the latter. You see, the Savior realized that she, in giving of her two mites, give all that she had. In fact, he goes further, all her living. In fact, one commentator, and I would go further than this commentator, but one commentator wrote concerning this particular sacrifice that she made that day. He said this. Now, I would remove the second word of this quote, but I'm going to give you the quote verbatim. This probably meant that she could not eat again until she had earned more money. Now you think about that. We talk about sacrifice. We read books and we quote books and we quote things that happened from the past. We think we know something about sacrifice and suffering and giving. But really, do we know anything of the level that this lady went to? Giving all her living to the Lord's work. Now that is true sacrifice. Imagine not being able to eat again because you'd given your everything to the Lord and to his work. The Greek word behind the word poor in verse 42 is a very, very, very strong word. It holds the thought of being a beggar, of being a pauper, even stronger than that, of being in distress. This widow woman in her true sacrificial giving that day literally left herself with nothing through her sacrificial giving. Now, what lessons was, what was the Savior doing here? Look at, I think it's wonderful how the Lord Jesus Christ not only saw this, not only noticed this, not only regarded this in the highest possible sense that he clearly did. But look at the opening words of verse 43. Do they not impress something upon each of us? And he called unto him his disciples, and he said unto them, and then that word verily, we've already said of how that's an indicator that there's something of particular importance coming. He called unto them his disciples. He intended to make this a lesson. He intended to use this as something to teach the 12. Something that I believe every one of us, and indeed every one of them, wouldn't have even regarded at all. But the Savior intended to use this as a lesson. You see, we live, and I firmly believe this, increasingly so, we live in a day and generation when even we in the Church of Jesus Christ, when we use the exact same metrics, way to measure and gauge success that the world uses. We measure success in numbers, and by that I mean the bigger the number, the better. Whereas here, in the closing words of Mark chapter 12, and Luke's gospel as well, that parallel portion, we don't just read it in one portion, we read it in two, that's the point. But here in these portions, plural, we are taught valuable lessons about what is of true worth, of true value, of what impresses upon the Savior. And really, he's the only one that we ought to be trying to please. It wasn't so much what she gave. In fact, it wasn't that at all that made the impression that it did upon the Savior that day, but it was in the fact that she gave her all. That's the lesson. Is that not a challenge to every one of us? It certainly is to this preacher. You know, it's easy to say, yes, I'm doing enough there, or I'll not take that booking, or I'll be tired if I do that, or that's too much. Or do we just go all out for him? That's the challenge. Are we sold out for the Lord? Are we holding back in our service and our prayers and our... You'll hear one of the appeals is, Mrs. Patterson will say it, listen out for the words, listen out for the words of appeal that she'll use in the video. And I've watched the video many times and it always impresses upon me. Even if it's just to give an hour of your time in one of the shops, there's one of them just down the road here in Bonbridge, even if it's just to give an hour folding clothes, opening bags, setting things on shelves, manning the station, manning the shop, even if it's just to give an hour. Mr. Patterson, I sent Mr. Patterson, he's the secretary of LTBS, I sent him a message in preparation for the meeting tonight. Is there anything that you want me to impress upon the people? Is there anything new? And of course, that's what this deputation update contains, all the things that he told me. But in particular, he said, we really need people, and I got an email today from another member of the committee to back this up, we really need people just to sit in the pews. You might think that there's nothing you can do. You can't fold clothes. My wife can fold clothes like that, and I'm like, yes, I can iron something that takes me 10 times longer to iron it than her. She's great at that sort of stuff. I'm not. Maybe there you think there's nothing you can do. Can you sit in a pew? I know you can, because I can see you doing it now. Can you open your hymn book and open your Bible and look interested? Well, you're doing a good job of it tonight. We got an email through this afternoon, a second email, in fact, begging us, do you know anybody that can sit in the meetings? There's a meeting tomorrow night. There's a meeting on Thursday night. There's two meetings each of those nights. In fact, there's three meetings each of those nights. And it's the second and third meeting that they need congregation for. The first meeting never has a congregation. It's always without a live audience. But that second and third meeting, they need people just to make up the numbers. I use the word just, and I shouldn't, because perhaps that's the thing that you can do. Jump in your car, drive down to Lurgan for the meeting tomorrow night. I have a number here if there's anybody that would be able to do that. Because I firmly believe, that there's something that every one of us can do for him. What are we doing? What are we giving? What are we? That's really the point here. What are we holding back in our service for the Master? There's more that I had planned to say tonight, but I'll not. The time has beaten us. But I trust there's been enough said. Enough said even from what the Savior himself impressed upon his disciples on that occasion. May we give of our time, of our prayer, of our energy, even of our finance on the inside of this. And we don't like to really make too much of a highlight of this, but it's there. It's in the back of it, because there are running costs that have to be met. There's something that every one of us can do for the Lord's work, even in this regard. I trust that something that might have been said tonight from the stammering preacher's lips might find a resting place in each of our hearts, even in relation to not only this work, but our own personal walk and what we can do for the Lord in this day and generation.
Let the Bible Speak continues to extend, indeed expand and develop in response to the Founder's vision of broadcasting the gospel across the world. Over the years, the radio work extended geographically to North America, the Republic of Ireland, London, Africa and Asia. We have expanded in advancing an internet ministry and high-quality television broadcasts, allowing a wider audience to be reached with the gospel. And the work has developed to now include a means of gospel outreach through magazines and the Let the Bible Speak shops. As we reflect on the growth of the LTBS ministry, we sincerely thank all who labour within the ministry, those who pray for it, and the many who contribute so faithfully and sacrificially to its funds. Above all, we give thanks to our faithful God for His grace, wisdom, power, and blessing. Over the years, Let the Bible Speak has never lost sight of the vision set forth in our Saviour's words, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Radio broadcasting is still the main part of our work. In Africa, we have one shortwave broadcast covering the whole of southern Africa. A broadcast in Kenya on Sahara FM, consisting of three FM stations targeting the areas of Kisumu, Busha, and Webai, along with multiple broadcasts on the Radio Pan Am internet station, repeated every 4 hours in a 24-hour period. Sahara FM is also heard in hospitals and prisons in those regions. In addition to these slots in Kenya, Reverend Malcolm Patterson continues to organize and compile weekly 15-minute LTBS programs on Radio Imani in Katale and Radio Lubeo in Kakamega. Three local pastors preach the word in Swahili over sequential weeks. LTBS programs are also aired by Reverend DeCanio on the Free Presbyterian radio station in Monrovia, Liberia. Do remember in earnest prayer the weekly ministry of the gospel on all these stations, that perishing souls will come to Christ and believing saints will be encouraged in the faith. In the Far East, a 30-minute program is heard each week on shortwave across the Indian subcontinent. India's northeastern neighbor, Nepal, has Let the Bible Speak broadcasting on 16 FM stations, two of them transmitting into the Kathmandu Valley. On all these broadcasts, the moderator of the Free Presbyterian Church of Nepal preaches the word, compiles the programs, and distributes them to the stations. His long-time vision to see the establishment of an LTBS-sponsored station reaching a huge potential audience in the Kathmandu Valley area has at last been realized. The station broadcasts on 106.1 FM under the name Word FM and airs programs daily from 7 to 11 a.m. and 5 to 8 p.m. Three full-time staff, the station manager, a technician, and an IT worker, all from the local church, keep the station on air. Wages and a full license cost just under £10,000 per year. Responses from listeners desiring to know more about the gospel come via phone calls and emails, and approximately 100 letters per month. Our four evangelists follow up on all of these. The moderator is immensely encouraged, and in a recent correspondence he wrote, "Things are going along well with the radio station. I'm glad the Lord has opened the door to preach His living gospel. Many people from various parts and religions have come in contact. We thank you very much for your prayer for this vital project."
My target is to reach out to the villagers. Many times I talk to the people that in the town, in Kathmandu or other towns, they have many medias. They have the YouTube, they have Facebook, they have television, so on. But my target is to reach out to the village. That's why I choose to broadcast from here. This location covers many mountains and villages. It goes off to the China border. It is higher than Kathmandu or other cities. That's the one reason I choose this location, that many people can hear the gospel. Most of the people listen the radio from their mobile phones. Sometimes they work in the field and they travel and they don't have any other device to see the program. That's why they listen the radio through their mobile phones. My prayers and my desire is let the many, many people around these villages up to the China border listen the word of God, and they come to the Lord as their saviors. That's the desire I have.
Only with your commitment and support under God has much been accomplished already. With that continuing engagement, we trust the Lord will be pleased to use it in the extension of His kingdom in hearts and lives in Nepal. Nearer home, London's Premier Radio airs our 5 13-minute programs. The Reverend Philip Knowles, our minister in London, is the resident preacher.
London itself is a very different place to be compared to towns or where I was in Lewes, which was a smaller town. Walthamstow is northeast London, a very populous area and again very diverse. The radio ministry in London began through the ministry of the Reverend Gordon Ferguson and continued with the Reverend Patrick Baker and now presently with myself. When I arrived in the church, one thing I noticed right away from speaking with the people in the church, that many had come as a result from the radio ministry. Since then, people have come and gone, but there are still those who are present with us today. And they came directly, having listened to the Let the Bible Speak radio broadcasts. The programs go out each day at 1 a.m. in the morning, Monday through Friday, and they last around 13 minutes. People often ask, why do you broadcast at that particular time? Do people even listen? Premier Christian Radio in the past have relayed to us that there is a lot of people listening at that particular time, all sorts of reasons, but in particular many because of the different work patterns that they have. But we are thankful for this opportunity through Let the Bible Speak radio ministry to enter homes, cars and other types of transportation where we can preach Christ in all the scriptures. The range of the broadcast in the last few years has expanded. I think in the early days it was only through medium wave, and so the catchment was only really for the London district. But now the broadcast goes right through United Kingdom. It is our desire that wherever people listen to the radio ministry, we let the Bible speak, for the message of the gospel is the power of God on the salvation.
In the Irish Republic, our broadcasts, which now number 12 per week, reach many on both sides of the border. Our Armagh, Auchnacloy, Corrigarry and Six Mile Cross congregations help sponsor the Wednesday afternoon slot on Radio Star, a spot made available when Clocker Valley moved their program to 12 noon each Lord's Day. And on Radio North, we now air a 30-minute program each Sabbath afternoon at 3 p.m., broadcasting the audio track of our television broadcasts, and our Coleraine congregation sponsor the weekly Sabbath evening broadcast. The total cost of radio broadcasting work is £60,000 per year. Our quarterly magazine is much valued by listeners who have little or no access to sound gospel literature and don't have the privilege of sitting under a biblical ministry. The printed page is yet another means of spreading the word. We print some 3,000 copies each quarter at an annual cost of £7,500. copies go to radio listeners, our congregations here and on the mainland, and we also send to some churches in our sister denomination in North America. In addition to our radio and television outreaches, the opening of our LTBS shops in Banbridge, Armagh and Macrofelt gives opportunity for a local street witness to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Several hundred Bibles and hundreds more gospel tracts and LTBS publications have passed into the hands of those here in Northern Ireland and visitors from the Republic of Ireland. Many of the numerous personal contacts have led on to encouraging and spiritually profitable conversations.
In November 2018, we opened our first shop in Banbridge. We were very blessed by the way that things progressed from there. The Lord blessed us greatly in both donations, in regular customers coming in people supporting us prayerfully, and in many other aspects. The donations come in at such a level that we actually felt that we would have to prayerfully consider opening a second shop. So on the 23rd of April 2022, we opened the doors to the second shop in Armagh. And already we have been encouraged by the public support. We've had many opportunities to witness again, and we've got talking to many converted Roman Catholics. We have one customer in particular, his name's Joe, 75-year-old Roman Catholic. He has been in and out on a regular basis and has spoke to some of the staff, but he has built up like a friendship with staff. He has got speaking to one of the staff recently, and he acknowledged that she had happiness about her, and that there was something that she had that he didn't have. He got into conversation about the Lord, and she witnessed to him, and he said straight away that he needed the Lord. He said he'd been told as a child that he just had to pray to God, but he never really fully understood it. So she was able to explain to him how to become a Christian, and he asked her to pray with him, which she did. He was absolutely delighted that he had that weight lifted off his shoulders. He had come to know the Lord. He had assurance of heaven, which was wonderful. It was a real encouragement for both the staff and everybody in LTBS. We've also had many opportunities to witness to other nationalities. We have Lithuanian, Romanian, Polish, Russian. We recently had Bulgarian teenagers in. We were very blessed with having a good conversation with them and offering them a free Bible each. They were absolutely delighted to get the Bible in their own tongue and went out very happy. We have had a lot of support from the public in general. We also have volunteers coming in on a regular basis, but there's always space for more volunteers. Even just 1 hour a week, opening up bags, folding stuff and putting them on shelves, rearranging bric-a-brac sections, things like that all need to be done, and an hour a week can make a big difference in both shops. So if anyone feels that they can volunteer, even if it's only an hour a week, please get in touch with us. We'd be glad of all your help.
Our Banbridge shop is relocating to new premises in 2024. Still staying in Rathfrieland Street, just moving across the street. We have now also opened a new shop in Macrofelt to accommodate the growth of opportunity in this ministry, and plan to open one further shop in Ahuchel, which will be co-located inside our new recording studios. Do pray with us for the Lord's continued blessing upon this witness on the High Street, that spiritually it will be our rescue shop for souls. Our weekly television program continues sounding out the good news. Television, just like radio, is still a very cost-effective way to reach lost souls with the message of the cross. It's equally effective in feeding the flock of God on the finest of the wheat. We want to reach those in the UK and the Irish Republic with the message of Christ and Him crucified. The television broadcasts air each Wednesday at 6:30 a.m. and 7:30 p.m. on the Revelation Channel 581 on Sky TV. They can also be viewed on Freesat Channel 692, Freeview HD Channel 264. And for more broadcast information, do check details on our website, ltbs.tv. The total cost of TV broadcasts is £30,000 per year. This has been a major investment to purchase studio quality equipment and commit to produce a new 30-minute program each week. We've been praying that the Lord would lead in relation to our desire to secure a permanent home for our recording studio, following several years where we were supported on a temporary basis in our Lurgan church. We believe that the Lord has now opened a door and enabled us to secure a building in a hochle just outside Ballymena. This building provides all the requirements we were seeking in a TV studio, and much more. The new studios have a reception room to host those arriving for the recordings, with facilities for refreshments to be served. The main studio will be developed in the large hall at the rear of the building, which was previously used as an indoor football pitch. This area is ideally suited for use as an auditorium, with room for TV cameras around the seating and a high ceiling for our studio lighting. The space will be dressed and decorated to suit our studio stage and to represent the look of our normal church sanctuary, accommodating up to 80 in the congregation. As we move back out of the hall and upstairs again, there's an ideal location for the two control rooms required for the management of audio and video, with ability to see the full hall below through the glass panel. We'll also be able to develop a second, more informal studio, which can be used for interviews and green screen recordings. In addition, the building also provides a series of rooms for meetings and events. Specifically, this includes a well-proportioned and equipped cafe area. And then finally, below the cafe area is another large space with access straight onto the street, which is ideal for our LTBS shop. The shop will be our fourth and will offer great access in the wider Ballymena and North Antrim area. Work is underway to plan and develop all of the additional facilities that we require to operate the studio, and we hope that it will open in 2024. The LTBS website is well worth a visit. At ltbs.tv, you'll catch up on the latest LTBS news, access our recently broadcast audio and TV programs, and view past issues of the LTBS quarterly magazine. Our daily devotional is there as well. It's available to read and also listen to as an audio recording. You can sign up for the devotional and have it delivered to your phone or computer. It provides you with a brief daily meditation on a text of Scripture and concludes with a notable quotation from a preacher or writer, giving you yet more food for thought. There's a great outreach yet to be done, and many still to be won for Christ. Let's make full use in this internet and digital age of all legitimate means to proclaim the gospel to the needy. With your help and support, much has been accomplished, and without it, we would not now be continuing to let the Bible speak on air. Your support, prayerfully and financially, has been an indispensable part of this ministry, and we thank you in the Lord's name. We must lengthen our cords and strengthen our stakes if we are to meet the increasing costs of airtime and the additional outreach planned in the Lord's will. Another generation of Free Presbyterians responding to the Savior's words, "Go and teach all nations," will ensure that Let the Bible Speak will have an ongoing witness to the nations of the world.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. The Lord is pressing forward and saving souls. There's a lot of work been done with Let the Bible Speak at the minute, especially those exciting new developments up there in Ahuachl. And just watch this space. That would be, the Lord can use that in a mighty way. It's. I would love to have got you to pause it there at one point, but I wouldn't have been able to reach up to show you the extent of it. It's that two shop fronts, and right away to the back, that large place at the back, and the whole car park and all can be used. And we're really looking forward to getting into that as well. We got an early on gated tour of that. All the deputation secretaries went up late one night to see that all, and it really is purpose-built for that type of thing. For us to build something like that would probably cost over twice what LTBS were able to purchase it for. It was Jeff Wright and those ones that got that going, and it's done to the highest of spec. And of course, we'll have to change a lot of things in it, but it is an ideal setting for exactly what we want in the days that lie ahead. So I trust that encourages you, lets you see exactly where your prayers go and where your pennies go, and indeed that the Lord might even use each of us in the days that lie ahead. So we'll get down to, we'll have a few minutes now for prayer. We'll ask our brother Sam to lead us off. Sam, is that all right? Yes, you lead us off, and then we'll maybe get Desi, please, to close the meeting at whatever time you feel fit, brother. But pray not only for what you've seen tonight, but for the various works of the days that lie ahead. Remember, of course, the Wednesday night meetings are now finished, the early morning Friday prayer meeting, the services on the Lord's Day, and as communion this incoming Lord's Day, the Reverend Kenny DV will be back in the pulpit again, and particularly for the joint mission, as it would come up very, very soon over there in the field in Annahilt. So please do remember these things, as well as what you've just seen on the screen tonight as well. Thank you.